And now back to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz with your hosts, Bill Hohlfeld and Joe Maniscalco.
And we're back with more good talk right here on Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz. I'm your host, Bill Hohlfeld, and my partner is with me again today, Joe Maniscalco. Joe, I mean, it's heart-wrenching, right? I mean, I can't beat this horse to death, this spectrum thing. I'm going to keep screaming until somebody starts to pay attention because it's all wrong.
Well, we're going to continue. We're going to stay on the story until the resolution of the strike.
And we're going to get that list of town halls, those upcoming town halls up on our website, right, so that everybody can find out where they are.
And while Trump builds the border wall, we're going to have a Labor Press wall of labor shame.
With a wall of shame. And Kevin, what was his name? Kevin what? Kevin Smith?
Smith.
Kevin Smith.
It's Kevin Smith. He goes at the top of the wall of shame. All right, but and turning away from the wall of shame, where are we going
well,
now?
This is also a shame on the city of New York. Recently, we saw the death of black car driver Doug Shifter, who actually took his own life in the front of City Hall not too long ago. And right now, we're going to talk to two black car drivers, Michelle Dotton and Sohail Rana, also, you know, drivers in the city. And they're going to talk about the kind of things that they're experiencing, the struggles that they're going through just trying to make a living in the age of the gig economy and Uber.
Hey, guys, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on today.
Hi.
Thank you.
I mean,
you're welcome.
I guess I can't even begin to imagine. Well, I actually can begin to imagine because I've experienced losing a coworker at work, dying at work, but not by his own hand, not by suicide. So that has to be a devastating feeling for you guys.
Definitely. I mean, that was a long time black car driver, and he took his life in front of the city hall, citing the systematic problems we have in this industry and lack of protections. I drove him to desperation to the point where he just took his life. And just a reminder, he's not the first one who took his life because of the problems within the industry. There's another driver named Danilo Carporan Castillo did as well in December. So, and as an IDG, like we are pleading Taxi and Limousine Commission, Mayor de Blasio, Governor Cuomo, and other city officials, please make this a last time when some driver took their life because they are not protected and there are so many systematic problems.
Right. Bill, I neglected to mention that too. The folks here that were speaking to, they're members of the Independent Driving Guild. It's not a union. It's an advocacy group. But they're fighting to try to improve the situation for drivers all over the city.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned the word protected on a couple of occasions now. So talk a little bit about the kinds of protection that you're lacking and where you feel you need it.
Just everywhere. Mm-hmm. We are taxed by everybody. I mean, you name it, insurance companies, we are insured by TLC, by NYPD, by, you know, TLC police, by, you know, just Uber, Lyft, you know, everyone.
And also, we're talking about congestion pricing coming?
Congestion pricing. Who's going to pay for that? Do you want to pay another $6 on top of your fare?
Okay.
No, you don't even now. Passengers don't even want to pay $2. They want the black car ride for no money.
Well,
think about this. You drive in the city, right? How many potholes have you avoided in the span of less than a mile?
I gave up driving in the city a couple of years ago because I can't deal with it. I don't have the patience.
So you can imagine our stresses. Our stresses can be that we could start at a day and we could start off at a minus based on the fact that we may hit a pothole that may blow our tire. We have zero protection. If they decide to set up a sting, they're not pulling over drivers and they insist you did this. When you were telling officer, how could I have just made the turn with somebody on a bicycle right in front of me, I would have run him over. Mm. Oh, no, you didn't stop.
So when
everyone has decided that we are guilty and that we don't deserve fair treatment.
Okay, well, there must have been a turning point, though, because, I mean, it wasn't always like this for the black car drivers. So,
correct.
You know, so when did this change take place and what caused it?
Because Uber wanted the fair market share. They want to be number one. They want to be number one, and the number one is I'm going to give the customers whatever pricing we think is going to bring them to their table.
I see. So, all right, I can understand how difficult it must be to compete with a service like Uber, but I guess I'm not – what the connection I'm not getting is – why would that make, say, the TLC come down harder on you? What would be in it for them?
So it's not a matter of coming down harder. They've always been hard on us. Every price that they come with, let's say we get a ticket, right? Now, let's say a driver decides they're going to fight that ticket, okay? And they plead not guilty. Now, if they have this thing where we can actually make an agreement to pay a certain amount if we plead guilty and they wipe all the charges out. But if a driver says, hey, I'm going to fight this because I'm innocent, and they go to court and they're found guilty, the fine will double.
So, Hill, so you have this existing policy where there's a crackdown, there's a fine, there's a summons every time you turn around, and plus you have all this influx of drivers who are, you know, flooding the streets. Talk about your own situation and, like, how many hours do you have to log on the road just to make ends meet?
My own situation is I've been a driver for 25 years. I've been driving since from 1992. So until, like, app-based companies arrived in New York, I mean, I was making pretty decent money and I didn't have to work. Like, what I have to do now is 13, 14 hours, as Doug Shifter said in his message, a Facebook message, that he had to work 15, 16 hours to make the minimum wage. The thing is, when Uber or Lyft app-based companies arrived, the pay in the beginning was okay. But then after, like, you know, they were just, some of that was rosy promises. Actually, FTC fined Uber $20 million for promising false wages, like higher wages than the actually drivers earned, you know. So that was, they were fined $20 million for that. And then after, like, Uber and app-based companies, I am, like, really forced to work, like, 13, 14 hours. And in the end, when I take my expenses, I am making, like, minimum wage, like $10, $11 or sometimes even less, because there are so many holidays. And in my view is, as a professional driver, this industry is just gone bad. It's just, like, really hit the bottom already. So there is no... not anymore. Hey, look, I'm a professional driver. I can make decent living. It's no more because this industry got
Bill, that's a perfect example. You see, this is Uber's business model. They want to treat the profession of driving as a part-time gig. When for so many people, it's not. It's their livelihood. And so what you have now is you don't have somebody who has a regular full-time job and then they drive for Uber. You have increasing amount of people driving for Uber, driving for Juno, driving for Lyft. They're trying to stitch together all these driving jobs, all these different gigs just to make a living, where folks that, you know, we're speaking to right now, Misha and Sahil, once were able to make that their livelihood.
And he used the right word. He said that the industry has hit bottom, because that's what this is all about. This is about the race to the bottom. That's the corporate model now, where a few people sit at the top and watch everybody race to the bottom and take all the profits.
Michelle, in a couple of minutes that we have left, can you talk about some of the remedies, the things that the group is pushing?
Sure. So we've asked to regulate. We've asked them to limit the amount of licenses that comes out. We've asked them also to have some of the drivers that are coming on have some kind of experience driving in the city, so that they don't just put the person who just got a driver's license and put their passenger's life in their hands who have not had any experience. You have people that can't even speak to the passengers as well. And also, I'll let Sohail say some of it as well.
Yeah, a few months ago, Doug Shifter wrote to the IDG, and he was talking to the drivers, and he said, I think your union is the driver's only hope. So So right now we are running a campaign for 37% increase, and our pledge is to the listeners, please sign the petition at idg.ms/progress. And as many signatures we're going to have, and then, you know, we can make it happen altogether. You don't have to be a driver. It doesn't matter you drive or not drive. You can sign this petition online. Once again, it's idg.ms/progress. And then also, like Doug Shifter, he expressed that he was against the congestion pricing because usually what happens whenever there are new taxes or prices, it always trickle down to the drivers.
All right, guys, you know, we got to leave it there, unfortunately. Bill?
Yep. And thanks for that information of where you can go on that website and sign up. And we do have to leave it there, but we will be back in just a minute with more good talk with Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz right here on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Labor Press on AM 970, The Answer.